We're taking our reading from Ephesians chapter number 1, starting at verse number 17. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? According to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. I promise you they ain't gonna bite you. Look your neighbor square in the eye. And as you look your neighbor square in the eye, I want you to say, neighbor, God will put his power to work. Neighbor, God will put his power to work. You may be seated. It ain't news. You see, I told y'all last week somebody had gave me a shirt and I had already had my attire, so I said I was going to wear it this week. So, what do we see? What we're seeing here is that the church in Ephesus received a letter from Paul while he was incarcerated in Rome, waiting to see Nero, knowing his time was running short, but he had a letter to write. Some say that this was a letter that wasn't just to the Ephesians. It was written to all the churches to be passed around. But you know what? I don't care how you look at it. I'm glad the letter was written. So what is happening here in this letter is that when Paul heard about how the church in Ephesus was truly a church that was grounded in the faith in the Lord, and that they were showing love to all the saints, he understood that these are the basic principles that the church ought to be about. The foundation of the church has to be a foundation of faith. And if we have faith in God, then the next thing we ought to do is we ought to exude in love towards one another and love for those who don't even like us. And what Paul was saying is that once he saw this, he says, I'm praying for you. You say, he says, I'm going to pray this prayer for you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, a lot of us are here on the prayers of somebody else. You see, if somebody hadn't prayed for us, ain't no telling where we'd be right now. Do I got anybody that's a witness to, you know, somebody prayed for you? You know how you was living. You know the kind of hellion you were. You know all the stuff you did. Some folk thought you'd never get it right. Some folk had traded you in, wanted to spit you out, kick you to the curb. But I'm so glad somebody. And it's their prayers. And this is the prayer that Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. And the prayer that he is praying, check this, I got to read verse 17. He says, again, he says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. Do you see that? You see, I want you to understand something. The Lord wants us to come to know him. You see, but in order to know him, you got to know that you've been prayed for, and you know that for a fact that you receive from God everything through his spirit. We only can worship him through spirit and in truth. We understand that it's the spirit of God that comes upon us. The spirit is our GPS that helps us to know what to do, when to do, and how to do it. When we put our trust in God, the life we live is no longer our own. We're now living for the one who took us from a nothing and made something out of us. When we understand that it's nobody but God who has blessed us and brought us to where we are right now, we want to have a deeper relationship with him. We want to know him. But Mother Austin, there's a reality. The reality is that there are folk in church that know about him, but they don't. There's a lot of folk who might know some things about you, but they don't. Can we work with it for a minute? You see, it's not enough just to come here and get happy on Sunday morning. It's not enough to be excited about the choir singing. You ought to be here because I want to know more about my Savior. I want to know more about the one who gave his all so that I can have what I have. I want to know more about the one who saw me at my worst but still gave his best. I want to know more about the one who looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I want to know more about the one who sees something in me that I couldn't see in myself. I just want to know him. And as I get to know him through his spirit, I'm going to grow in wisdom. I'm going to grow in revelation. I grow in wisdom by being able to, as I know him, I know how I need to live for him. And the only way I get to know that is I got to get in his word. And once I get in his word, then I am truly able to know him. But not just get in the word, but I need the word to get in me. Because once the word is in me, then I'll know how to walk right. Then I'll know how to talk right. Then I'll know how to deal with folk. I'll know how to pray for them rather than cuss them out. I'll know how to lift them up rather than shake it out of them. You know what I'm talking about. You see, but what we got to understand, that God wants us to have the wisdom of knowing how to make his word applicable and make it alive in our lives. It is not just enough to quote folk scripture. There's a lot of quotas out there. Folk can quote a whole lot of scripture, but how much of that scripture are you living? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see, as we're living what thus saith the Lord, that's how we apply that wisdom. Yeah. And once I know I've gotten it right, then I know that I am God's investment. And now that I'm God's investment, then God reveals to me the need of me to share that which I know is true. There's already enough folk out there sharing lies. There's already enough folk out there swaying people to the wrong direction. But what we got to share is that which we know is the truth. Because the truth is the only thing that's going to set folk free. Isn't the truth the only thing that sets you free? Isn't the truth the only thing that puts you on the right path? Isn't the truth the one thing that allowed you to see your own shortcomings and realize how good our God is? You see, when folk come to church, we understand that God is the only one that brought us to where we are. So when I come up in here, I ain't trying to impress you. You ought not to be trying to impress me. We're all here for the sole purpose of lifting up the one who took us when we were a nothing and made something from us. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who recognize the existence of our God? And it's all about the truth. So once I know the truth, once I move forward with wisdom and revelation, and I draw to know him, then the one thing that God does for me is that Paul is praying that with the eyes of your heart, enlighten. Do you realize God wants you to know more about him? Because the more you know about him, the more you're growing. And the more you know about him, the more you can help somebody else. I want you to understand that it's not just about how much you grow. It's about how much you help others. Oh. God doesn't want you just to be the big tree on the street. He wants you to be a tree that helps others do the same thing. But in order to get there, you have to be enlightened. You got to want to grow. And as you're enlightened, Sister Fee, there's going to be some stuff you don't like that God going to show you about yourself. There's going to be some stuff you're like, all right, God, you ain't had to go that far. But God needed you to see it, because guess what? Other folks see it. So since other folks see it, God wants you to be better. You see, whatever God does for us, it is never to make us bitter. It's always to make us better. You see, that's why the psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he says, taste, and he is sweeter than a honeycomb. So whatever God does for us, it is not to cause us to be bitter and angry and frustrated. God is doing what he does in us in order so that we can see the sweetness of who he is and the bitterness of what we were. But when we hand it over to God, it's going to be nothing but good. And I tell you, God did it. Oh, yes, he did. But let's go on further. But let's look. Hold on. Well, come on, go with me. I want us to see something. Once we've been enlightened, he says, the whole purpose is so that you may know what it is. What is the hope to which he has called you? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God called me. And you can't do nothing about it. You hear that? You got to understand, God called you. And since God called you, God's got a purpose for you. Even if other folk know about what you were. Even if folk know about all the dirt you done did in your past, it don't matter what they know, because God what? Called you. Because I want you to realize that when God called you, you were not at your best. You were probably at your worst. When God called you, you was probably toe up from the flow up. When God called you, you weren't thinking nothing about God, but God is the one that pulled you up after miry clay and said, I'm going to clean you up and make you whole again. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you think about how good our God has been to us, not while we were at our best, but when we were at our worst, isn't that something to get excited about? Isn't that something to be thankful for? It's nobody but God who did what has been done in our lives. So how can we sit here like? It ought to be more than that. And since we've been called, my brothers and sisters, we got something in store for us. God has something in store for us. It says, because of his riches, of his glorious inheritance among the saints. Do you see that? Some folk in this world have folk in their family who are rich. And they're just sitting there digging their way, waiting for them to die. You know why they're waiting for them to die? So they can get there. Come on, let's just be real about it. Thank God that ain't the view of none of us up in here. But I want you to understand something. That the inheritance that God has for us, we ain't got to wait for nobody to die. Because there's one that had already died and got up early on Sunday morning, and his name is Jesus. He got up with all power in his hands, and through us believing in Christ, don't you know that the Father has an inheritance for us through the Son? You see, that's why I'm excited, because the one thing that the church has been doing is that it has not been living to its full potential. We have not tapped into all the resources that God has for us because of the fact that God has an inheritance for us. But what we have been doing is that since we've made it about ourselves and not about God, we find ourselves scraping at the bottom of the barrel. We find ourselves not reaching our full potential because we made it more about us than it is about God. And as long as it's that way, you'll never be able to reach and touch your full potential and get your inheritance. Now, I want you to know, this ain't about talking about the prosperity ministry that you hear about. Money cometh. Ministry is bigger than money. I want you to understand, every child of God ought to be prosperous. What does that mean? Successful. It doesn't mean that you're walking around with $1 million in your pocket. But when you have Christ in your life, you are as rich as you need to be. And when you have Christ, he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. When you have Christ, you know for a fact that he will put food on your table, clothes on your back, keep a roof over your head, keep you in your right mind. And when you got all those things, you got everything that you need. And then every now and then, he'll cause your cup to overflow. When you know how good our God is and our God wants the best for you, you ought to live your life with the understanding, I might go through some storms, I might hit some rocky roads, but I serve a God who will make a way out of no way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands if it had not been for Jesus, I would have gave up a long time ago? Look. I want us to understand something. The church has untapped resources. We are not tapping in to all the resources that we have. We're not tapping into all that God has in store for us. And then we wonder why we don't have. You have not. Because Jesus said, I knock. When you knock, the door will be answered. When you seek, you will find. When you ask, it shall be given. And many of us ain't done none of the three that I just mentioned. And then we wonder why. I don't know why nothing happening at our church. I don't know why things ain't going the way they ought to go. Because you have resources that you have not tapped into. Can I show you the biggest resource that we have? Look at verse number 19 with me. He says this. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us? Who? What? Believe. According to the working of his great power. The reason why we ain't tap in the way we ought to be tapping into the resource, it's based on our ability to believe. Because if you can't believe, you can't understand the immeasurable power of God. You see, it's all according to his great works. You have to understand that God has the power. But the question is, do you want it? But in order for you to get it, you have to believe. Which means that you have to tap in. You know, all throughout this world, even today, we got folk who are trying to tap in to find more fossil fuel. You know why they're tapping in? Because they know if they can find a gusher, they're going to get rich. But I want you to know that richness only lasts temporarily. Because when you leave this earth, you can't take it with you. Amen? You know, I think about that real rich man who was a billionaire three times over. Had his wife and he told her, when I die, you better bury me with all my money. She said, okay, I will do just that. And don't you know when that brother died, she took his checkbook, wrote all the money on it to be cashed to him, and she put it in his pocket. So she buried him with a check with all his money. But guess what? She was spending it. So I don't know about you. I don't want nothing that's temporary. I want something that's eternal. And what the Lord is telling us is that when we tap in, when we believe in the Father through the Son, and we make it our business to know him, then we can begin to tap in to what he has. And what God has is power that is immeasurable. Don't you know the power of God does great things? And the people of God, we have to understand the reason why you and I have been saved. Wait a minute, you don't want it. All right, hold on, let me stop. Let me take you to the next verse. Can I take you to the next verse, then we tie it all in? Look at verse number 20. Because this is where the sermon heading came from. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. You see, when Jesus stepped down through 42 generations and he walked here among us, Jesus walked around with the power of God. Why? Because he what? Tapped in. You see, and when he tapped in and he started his public ministry, Jesus gave sight to the blind. Jesus allowed the lame to walk. Jesus spoke to the elements and calmed everything down. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed over 5,000. Jesus spoke to stuff that was dead and gave it life. You see, God will put his power to work. And Sister Sarah, now I want you to understand something. They thought that once they killed him, that was the end of the power. But what I'm here to tell you, God's power is bigger than anything on this earth because it comes from the Father. And when they had crucified the Son and he took his last breath, they thought that was the end of it. And we see that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took him and put him in a tomb. And when they put him in the tomb and rolled the stone in front of him, they figured that they had put an end to the power. But what I'm here to tell you, that God's power, God will always put his power to work. He stayed there Friday night, all day Saturday, Saturday night, but only on Sunday morning, the Father, God put his power to work. And Jesus, who was dead, was now alive. Because God put his to work. And when Jesus got up, you know what Jesus said? He had the keys of hell, death, and the grave. And he said, all power is in my hand. But before it became visible, don't you know he stepped down to hell, went into hell, snatched the keys from hell, and said, all y'all in here that believe in me, come on and go with me. And what the devil said to him is, what in hell is going on? And Jesus just had let an entourage up out of hell. But when he came in the physical and told them all power is in his hand. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when he showed himself to his disciples. Check this out. All of them was there except Doubting Thomas. And when Thomas came, after Jesus left, the disciples were all excited, saying that Jesus was here and that he has risen. But I want you to know, Reverend Rhodes, whenever something good going on, don't you know there's always a hater in the house? There's always somebody doubting the power of God. It's always somebody saying, God didn't do that. And he said, you know what? I can't believe. The only way I believe is I got to see the nail prints in his hands. I got to see the piercing in his side. And don't you know when Jesus showed back up again, Thomas was there. And Thomas, he said, come on, bro, touch his eye. I ain't got to believe. I believe now. You see, I want you to understand, we don't want to be no doubting Thomases. We believe because we know what the Lord has already done for us. We believe because we know he woke us up this morning. We believe because he's blessing us right now. We believe because he brought us through the storm. We believe because he got us out of sick beds. We believe because of the fact that there was a time things were swirling in the wrong direction, but God grabbed a hold of us and he turned it around and he worked it all out. Do I got anybody in God's house who believes because you know just how good our God is? Check this out. Since he put his power to work, and his power worked through his Son, those that believe, when he was having the ascension, he told them, you stay here in Jerusalem until you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, in order for you to see what's going to happen, and in order to put the power to work, you got to wait on God's Holy Spirit. You see, because before God works his power through you, he must first put his power in you. Now, how does that happen? Because every child of God was first a sinner that the Lord transitioned to a saint. And the way that happened is that God put his power. He put his power to work, because we're no longer bound by our sins, because we have now been set free. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You see, God put the power, his power, to work. And now that his power is working in us, it's now time for his power to work through us. You see, now that you've been saved through the power of God and through the actions of his Son. And now that God has done what he's done in you, it's time for you to put God's power And in order to do that, my brothers and sisters, you got to tap in. And once you tap in, you're going to realize how awesome our God is. You're going to realize you're going to do things you thought you never could do. You're going to see God at work in your midst. You're going to see how God can change folk right before your very eyes. And when you see it, you ain't going to pat yourself on the back. You're going to give God all glory, honor, and praise, because you're putting God's power to work. There are too many folk out there in our city being shot and killed because the power of God is not being put to work. We got too many folk who are robbing and stealing from others because the power of God is not being put to work. It is left up to us to put the power of God to work and watch how God will change our community, change our city, change our country, change our world. We'll never know what God can do until we put his power to work. And in order to put his power to work, you gotta tap in. You see, Paul put it like this. It says that the Father put Jesus at such a high place that there's nothing above him, but everything is beneath him. And don't you know what he tells us in verse number 22? Is that he put all things under Jesus' feet. So if we put God's power to work, whatever has been trying to keep us bound has to set us free, because it's under Jesus' feet. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you tap in to the power of God and you allow that power to exude in your life, the problem that some of us have is that when God starts using us and God starts working through us, we mess around and start patting ourselves on the back. And then we wonder why things start to go awry. You see, Brother Red, we can't ever lose sight that it's God's power that's being put to work in us. So whenever we're able to do anything, we always give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Don't you know that's why we come to church? Is we come here to worship the one that took us from nothing and now doing something with us. And now that God is utilizing us, whenever we come to church on Sunday, that is a time of celebration. That is a time of praise, because we realize that we weren't able to do nothing until we met Jesus. And once God put his power to work in us, and now that power is working through us, we come here to rejoice and say, Lord, I know from whence I've come. I know what I used to be like. But Lord, right now, look at what you're doing. Look at how you're blessing me. Look at how you're helping others through me. I can't help but give you all glory, honor, and praise. Do I got anybody in God's house who don't mind praising God? Do I got anybody in God's house who understand it's nobody but God who made a way out of no way? Because we put the power to work, we got to give him the glory, the honor, and you see, my brothers and sisters, it's left up to the people of God to realize that Jesus has been made the head over all things for the church. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you ain't in charge. Kevin, you ain't in charge. Just in case somebody say, oh, he's talking about us. Talking about myself too. God is in charge. And when we truly understand that is the Father through the Son who is in charge of the church, then we understand what our position is. What is our position? We are his body. Do you see it? Right there in verse 23, we are his body. The whole fullness of him who fills all in all. So in all actuality, in order for us to do right, get right, be right, we got to rely on the head. And Jesus is the head of the church. Don't you know, just like everything functions from our brain, Jesus is the head of the church. He controls the central nervous system. He controls all the involuntary organs in us. How many of you ever said to your heart, beat, beat? How many of you say, okay, now breathe, breathe, exhale? How many of you said, okay, stomach, time to get it going? Okay, kidneys, do your thing. All right, liver, you know what you got to do. You see, we have a whole bunch of involuntary organs, which means is that they don't wait on us to do anything. Because they're already functioning because they got their orders from the head. You see, now when we understand that concept, we realize that if we're going to do what the Father is calling us to do, that everybody ain't going to be happy with what God is calling us to do. But we're not doing it to be braggadocious and talk about ourselves. We're doing it in order to put the Father's power to work. And as we're putting the Father's power to work, we know that we are taking our instructions from somebody who is bigger than us. We're taking our instructions from somebody who's been there and who has done that. We're taking our instructions from somebody who understands what it's like to hurt, understand what it's like to go through this and go through that. But you know what? Jesus came through victorious. And since he is the head, we are the body. That's telling me that we already have the... And since we have the victory, we ought to be putting God's power to work. When we put God's power to work, Reverend Rose, by next spring, we'll hear a whole lot of noise going over here. By next spring. The only way to get to this church is to come down the driveway over here, because this driveway is going to be shut down, because that's going to be part of the new sanctuary. When we put God's power to work, things will happen a whole lot faster than what we think. But as long as we think we are in control, as long as the body tries to act like the head, I want you to know all you're going to do is slow down the process and you're not speeding it up. But in order for us to see God move faster, we got to allow the power of God to work through us. That means that we are not the head, we are the body. And the body takes its instructions from the head. And I want you to know that my brothers and my sisters, when we know who is large and is charged and his name is, then that's who we're looking to. That's who's guiding us. That's who's blessing us. That's the one who's brought us this far. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the only reason why we are still here, because there's nobody but Jesus. And if he brought us this far, I'm going to let him take us all the way. So we're going to put God's power to work. Let Jesus be the head of the church and watch and see how God will make a way out of. You see, my brothers and sisters, all God wants to know, will you tap in? Because when you tap in, you allow God's power to work in you. Some folks say, what you mean God's power to work in me? Don't you know I'm ain't a youngster no more? Even at 98 years young, God's power is still at work in your life. Even no matter how toe up from the flow up you once were. If you are now saved, that means that God put his power to work in you to save you. And it don't matter what they know about you. All you got to say to them is, I know who saved me. I know who changed me. I know who healed me. I know who delivered me. I know who made a way for me. I know who's with me right now. And his name is. So I don't care what you know about me. I don't care if you know all of my faults. You don't know me like the Lord knows me. And the Lord was the only one who met me where I was, and look at where I am right now. You see, my brothers and my sisters, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, ain't no shame in my game. You see, I know I was ashamed of some of the stuff I've done. But don't you know Jesus freed me from that? Don't you know Jesus healed me from that? Don't you know Jesus made a way for me from that? Do I got any witnesses in God's house? You used to be ashamed of whatever, but look what God has done. You used to want to squinch from whatever, but look at what God has done. It ain't nobody but Jesus who could have worked with this big head dude you're looking at. Nobody. And I know if he can do something with me, you just don't know. If he did it in me, I know he can work in anybody. God wants you to allow his power to be put to work through you. God will put his power to work, and he wants it to work through you.